Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning. Going to be joined by Sal Palantonio from ESPN coming up at 8:15. We'll get his thoughts on the draft coming up in just over a week in the NFL. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, you have some amending that you need to do.
Yeah, let's just make it 20, okay? Some personal texts.
Going for 15, 20.
Yeah, the 20s, yeah, it's not crazy, and it's, you know, that's a nice round number. So, the complete oversight. Fletch has to be on there. Lance sends me Tommy Boy. What am I thinking? I mean, Tommy Boy, yeah, it has to be. Friday, what am I doing?
Oh, man, come on. I mean,
Friday, I mean, so I don't even remember how old he was, but Brennan, my middle kid, for a while, like when he would, like, make a play in sports, he'd say, bye, Felicia. Like, do you even know?
You know where that's from?
Like, what that's from? You understand what your name? I mean, great Friday movie. Is an incredible movie, incredibly quotable. So there's Friday, Fletch, Time Boy. Like, Slapshot needs to be on there. Yeah. I agree. I'm going to hold off on Blazing Saddles. although Mongo Punching the Horse, you know, all time great movie. I'll hold off on Blazing Saddles. Slapshot, yeah. And then. Let's. I mean, you have to. There's a few you could pick here in this realm of Adam Sandler, but let's go Happy Gilmore.
Oh yeah.
I mean, if you, as much as I probably love Wedding Singer, most of his movies just because of the '80s music, and Billy Madison is, Billy Madison may be more quotable though. It's close. Let's go Happy Gilmore.
Seen it.
I think that's okay.
So three for 20.
Three for 20.
I'm 18 of 20.
I wish we would have done this in the winter. Because now the weather's getting nice, but I think by the fall I can have all of these. By the first Titans home game, I can have all of these movies watched. Right? I said it on April 20th today.
Okay, all right.
You will be a much more well-rounded person than Ryan Porth if you do. So you know that's. What's the other one you haven't seen? Fletch.
Fletch. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's. I mean, and then you get into like Vacation. All right, let's move on.
Joe, are you all right?
I'm crazy.
Joe can spend the rest of the show doing this stuff. Got to vote for Gone with the Wind on the text line, too. Could really get after it. Have you seen that one?
Yes. Oh, gosh. Airplane. I mean, people throwing Major League. Ah, geez. See? All right.
Let's go to 30.
To keep going.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. What did you make of Paul Koharski saying he is very anti-quarterback for the Titans in this draft?
Well, it's an interesting. So then he immediately followed up with, and then next year they need to have a quarterback who's comparable but is only making $4 million. You know, so again, how do you achieve that? Now you may achieve it by drafting one next year, of course, but that's where I don't dismiss it because. This is an opportunity. Again, it all comes down to if there's one in there, and I would not expect there to be more than one of this class, but if there's one guy in there who you feel that strongly about, you if his name isn't Pickett or Willis, because I think those two guys are going to go high, then you actually could get that guy this year. And then you have the sort of understudy year, just like Mahomes with Alex Smith. And I'm not saying whoever they draft is Mahomes, but Tannehill and Alex Smith is a pretty decent parallel, you know, for that time to this time. And then you have that situation next year. So that's why, I mean, I agree with the second part of what he said, but this is the first part. That's why I wouldn't dismiss it. I mean, it's something they've done their homework on. And what we don't know, or I don't know, is whether there's real momentum in that building for a particular quarterback. I've thought all along that if there was, like Desmond Ridder would make the most sense. I think he fits you know, what they do. I think, and they're just, you know, Mike Vrabel is going to be as educated on him as anybody's going to be. So, I don't dismiss it. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it probably should happen, because they should still be in go for it mode and do everything you can to help your current quarterback. But I don't dismiss it.
I don't dismiss it either. It is interesting, I thought, that Dane Brugler said yesterday he expects the quarterbacks to go early. And it depends on, you know, when the run starts. But from everybody he's talked to, he thinks the quarterbacks are going to go earlier than a lot of people think. I'm interested to see what exactly that means and who exactly that includes in the first round coming up a week and a day from now.
Yeah, I think he's totally right. It's exactly what I expect. I think there's going to be a run, and there's going to be a couple teams that people are expecting to do this or that that could conceivably get a quarterback who will probably get one. But I think Dane Brugler made a great point. You know, don't do it, you know, just because you need a quarterback. Don't do it just because you're not where you want to be at that position. Do it if you believe it's a top 15 guy in the league long term. If you can honestly tell yourself that in any year in any draft class, this player, Matt Corral, is going to be a top 15 player in the league, and understanding that everybody's projections are wrong a lot, but you have to believe that to take one. But I look at how it goes in this league. It's just the constant search for that guy, and I still think even with this class, we're going to see more go high than a lot of people think.
Robert in Nashville texting in says, what about Sam Howell? This is coming from Robert in Nashville. We've talked about Sam Howell.
Yeah. I mean, he's one of those – he seems to be, along with Matt Corral, you know, at the lower end of the potential first-rounders. I see very few mocks that have him actually going in the first round. I think he's talented for sure. I think last year hurt him. And last year, like Sam Howell and Lat is an example of a college season hurting a player when, yep. Like, if he could have gone into the draft last year, then he probably would have gone higher. I mean, it was just a very disappointing year, and he had some games where he just made a lot of mistakes. I think he's got the ability. Maybe there's also just some, like, North Carolina quarterback backlash, which would be dumb, but just because of Mitch Trubisky. I don't know. People on the outside feel that way. I would hope that no one who actually is an NFL personnel person would give that any thought.
It's like the Titans shouldn't draft anybody from Georgia because Isaiah Wilson.
Exactly. Yeah. Avoid those Bulldogs. You don't want any Bulldogs on your team. They only have, you know, like 20 future NFL starters every year.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Sal Palantonio from ESPN. We'll get his thoughts in advance of the NFL draft. Pro golf coming to Nashville this May with the Simmons Bank Open. Text the keyword golf to 615-737-1025 for a chance to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drinks, plus a Predators gift pack, including polo shirts, golf balls, and umbrella. Text golf to 615-737-1025 for your chance to enter and to win. Sal Palantonio coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We are scheduled to be joined by Sal Palantonio from ESPN coming up here in the next few minutes. Looking forward to that conversation. We'll have Ryan Johansson, Preds forward, coming up at 9:30 as well. Big win last night for the Nashville Predators. They win 3-2 in a shootout against the Calgary Flames. We'll talk with Johansson about that coming up at 9:30. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. There's been an incredible amount of response to your movie list, Joe Rexroad. We may have to do the 500 most quotable movies beginning next week.
Okay, look, I'm leaving it at 25, and that's it. There's a lot that are great that don't make it. Like, someone put Forrest Gump. It's a great movie, and it is quotable.
Oh, it's quotable.
It's quotable. It's great. So I guess maybe I'm still mad at Forrest Gump because Pulp Fiction should have been Best Picture in 1994, not Forrest Gump. But great movie.
I disagree.
Yeah. I can't quite. But here's the last five, and then I'm done. Okay? This is it. Airplane, yes. And someone pointed that out. Of course. Major League, yes. Someone else pointed that out on Twitter. Wayne's World, yes. Someone pointed that out on Twitter. And then, what am I thinking? Coming to America? Trading Places? Those two, 100%. And you know what? It hurts to not have Beverly Hills Cop on there, but there's 25.
There you go.
There's 25.
And he's so, done.
Michelle, it's a little bit heavier workload, but you can do it.
That's right. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Sal Palantonio from ESPN. Sal Palantonio, Matt Bowen, and Greg Cosell break down their top prospects on NFL matchup draft special. The first show aired last night on ESPN2, and you can catch them out. They'll be available on ESPN Plus as well. Sal, what's going on? How are we doing?
Hey, we're doing good, man. What's happening?
Not much. Appreciate you taking time to be with us today. We're a week and a day away from the NFL draft. First off, thankful that we're getting close to that point. I'm interested in your thoughts on this, Sal, because people have their differing opinions on this. What do you make of the quarterback class heading into this year? Because it seems to be kind of all over the map in terms of opinions heading into the draft.
Yeah, well, what we look at on the show is we try to break down the traits that will translate from the collegiate game to the NFL game. And the conclusion that we draw is that Kenny Pickett is heads and shoulders the top quarterback prospect in this draft. You know, that may be a little controversial since Scouts Inc. has Malik Willis named number one. But we look specifically at decision-making, ball placement, ball accuracy, the ability to read the defense pre-snap. He's got all that stuff. And I think Kenny Pickett has a chance to be a starter year one in the National Football League.
Yeah, and of course, you know, on the Willis front, so what I hear a lot, Sal, is, you know, what you just said, you know, Kenny Pickett, most ready to plug and play right now, best quarterback, but some people think that, you know, Malik Willis down the road could have the highest ceiling of this group. What do you think about him, and I guess what the timeline might be for him to put it together?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a two-year project minimum. He certainly has arm strength from the interviews that I've had with coaches and GMs and scouts. He's great at the whiteboard. He's super smart, very intelligent, great film study guy, and dual threat. You know, dual threat guys, the ability to run, get out of the way of the pass rush. Those guys do well right now in the National Football League because it's a blitzing league. So, you know, he has definitely a tremendous upside. And I think he's going to be a fine NFL quarterback, I do.
Sal, what are your thoughts on the Titans? I mean, they obviously the number one seed in the AFC last year. You lose in the divisional round at home against Joe Burrow and the Bengals. And, I mean, looking at the draft, they could go interior offensive lineman in the first round. They could go wide receiver. They could go quarterback, depending on how they feel about Ryan Tannehill as well. Overall, what do you make of the job Mike Vrabel has done, and how do you view the Titans heading into next season?
Well, you know, I think the bottom line is they were plus 65 in the differential, okay, even though they were the number one seed. That was way behind Buffalo. It was way behind New England. That was behind Cincinnati. It was way behind Kansas City. That was behind Indianapolis. So, you know, they gave up too many points. You know, you got to score over 400 if you want to make the playoffs. They scored 419. But I thought they gave up too many points. And that, I think, was the number one reason other than, you know, Ryan Tannehill at the end of the game against Cincinnati, that in the final analysis where they had so much problems with that Cincinnati passing game. I think, you know, to me, Vrabel does a great job. Number one seed, winning 12 games is not easy. First 17-game schedule, got home field advantage and all that. But it comes down to how you play in the critical games in the NFL. And the number one thing is you got to be able to get to the quarterback, get him on the ground, make sure that you're buttoned up on the back end. In the postseason. We've seen it time and again. We've seen it in the last two Super Bowls. So I think that's the number one thing. To me, wide receivers all well and good, but I'd like to see them really bolster their defense.
Sal, obviously things, I mean, this has been, I think, the most intriguing and just news-packed NFL offseason I can recall on a lot of different fronts, but just in terms of...
I'm interested to see what you think is the number one issue out there. This has been a super volatile, highly charged offseason, very unpredictable. But there have been a number of things that have happened this offseason that are different. So what are people saying to you about what's different about this league right now in the offseason?
I think the number one thing we get is probably just the quarterback movement, player empowerment of, hey, I want to be somewhere else. That's probably the most common answer we get.
Player empowerment, absolutely. The LeBronification of the NFL, no question. Hmm. You hit it right on the head. Player empowerment, and we're seeing it go from quarterback position now to wide receiver position. The wide receivers are now figured out, okay, hey, you're going to give $250 million out to these quarterbacks and a lot of it guaranteed money. We want that too. And that's why Hill's gone. That's why Devontae Adams is gone. That's why you're hearing noise about A.J. Brown. That's why you're hearing noise about Deebo Samuel. The volatility, the amount of money that is available, the player empowerment. They look at the MLB contracts, the NBA contracts. And these players deserve to get paid. Don't get me wrong. They do. And they deserve as much guaranteed money as they can. But you're seeing a trickle down from the quarterback position to other positions in the NFL. You're absolutely 100% correct.
Meanwhile, Sal, you know, the best player on the football team in this city, of course, plays running back. And you know, we're all going to find out with Derrick Henry, you know, whether he's still full Derrick Henry next year, you know, on the surgical repair foot and everything. But it's amazing to me that we see, as you would expect, such inflation across the board. But, you know, like his deal was basically the same deal, you know, that Chris Johnson signed like more than a decade earlier here in Nashville. Where do you think things are going at that position? I feel like you're going to see more and more good players opt to play something else other than running back because of how it's been devalued.
It's been devalued, and your instance of the probability, let's put it that way, of getting hurt is a lot higher, right? So when you're looking at roster management, GMs do not want to give that guaranteed money. Look at New York, Saquon Barkley. That was a disaster from the get-go. And, you know, the king is the king. I mean, he deserves all the accolades, but foot surgery for a running back is problematic. Totally. I wish him the best. I hope he comes back at 120%. Because, you know, the team needs him for sure. He's a foundation of what they do. There's no question about that. But you're right. I don't see it going in that direction where you're going to have empowerment about running backs, right? Because running backs are not really picked in the first round. They probably won't be picked any in the first round this year. Very few. Ezekiel Elliott, I may be the last guy picked in the first round who wound up getting a second contract. Can you think of another one? That's gotten a first round pick at the running back position that got a second contract. It's rare,
McCaffrey.
Right? It's super rare.
Yeah,
that's
many.
The other one. Not many. And McCaffrey's hurt.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. So it's the trickle down. I don't see it happening at the running back position. But with respect to Derrick Henry, it's further problematic. Why? Because he's coming off a foot injury. Foot injuries, running backs are rough.
Sal Palantonio from ESPN on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Sal, last thing for you here. We brought up the NFL matchup draft special show. What can fans expect on that, and where can they find that?
Yeah, we're on ESPN Plus and on demand. You know, it's the longest-running NFL studio show on network television. We've been around since the early 80s. And the thing that I like about being associated with the show is it is the show that the players and the coaches watch. And on this particular show, the mandate is very specific. We want to take the traits of these prospects at quarterback and pass rusher and see how they translate to the NFL, because that's the fulcrum of the league right now. Young's quarterback play, pass rushers that neutralize that. You look at the AFC, man, loaded with young quarterbacks, right? Loaded, absolutely loaded. And yet the NFC won the last two Super Bowls. Why? Because Todd Bowles and that Bucs defense pressured Patrick Mahomes the second 26 times, a Super Bowl record 2 years ago. And then in February, Joe Burrow was sacked 7 times, 6 in the second half by Von Miller and the rest of that group of the L.A. Rams. So, you know, you can neutralize young quarterback play if you have a superior pass rush talent and scheme. And the teams that realize that are going to get ahead right now in the league. And that's why I think you're going to see in this draft, even though there's no gold-plated franchise quarterback in this draft, I think you're going to see four of the top six picks be pass rushers and the other two be offensive linemen if the Panthers don't take a quarterback at six, which is still a big if. But, you know, there are pass rushers in this draft that can help you. And that's what we show in this show.
You can check that out on ESPN+. Sal, really appreciate you taking time to join us here this morning. Great stuff as always, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Sal Palantonio, our guest from ESPN here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Join the Nashville Predators for Smashville's open house event this Saturday, April the 23rd. If you ever wanted to see the inside of the Preds locker room, don't miss your chance coming up on Saturday, April 23rd at the Smashville open house. At this event, you'll have your first chance to pick your seats for the 2022-23 season. Plus, all fans can sign up for the chance to shoot on net to win two lower-level half-season tickets as well. There's all sorts of stuff going on Saturday. Complimentary popcorn and Coca-Cola products, 50% off all other food and beverage, and you can save 30% off all Stadium Series merchandise as well at Nashville Locker Room. Make sure you're there for the Smashville Open House coming up this Saturday, April the 23rd. We'll be right back, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. ESPN 102.5 The Game, Nashville's official home of NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1 o'clock for the Geico 500 at Talladega Super Speedway. Also get set for the race with Chasing Checkers every Sunday at 8 a.m. on 102.5 The Game. Sal Palantonio, our guest in the last segment, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Tyler texting in says, the Sal interview is a perfect depiction of how national media pays zero attention to the Titans. We lost because we couldn't get to the quarterback in the playoffs? This is coming from Tyler on the text line.
Yeah, is that what he was saying? I was like, I do think that the Titans got to the quarterback. Is Sal the one who's telling everybody to put a inside linebacker in the mock drafts?
Could be. He's not alone.
Sal is, but maybe he's the source of it. Maybe Sal is, you know, influencing everyone to put inside linebacker on the mock draft. Yeah, that was a little. I would not agree that defense is what the Titans need to address, or that was their big issue in the playoffs there. And you know, look, this is reality. This is why I can sit here and you know, make fun of the Jags. But I guess at least with the Jags and Colts, like around here, you watch a fair amount of the teams like in the division, right?
Yeah.
Of the team in town. But I mean, if you really wanted me to start giving some takes on like the Niners or the Broncos, you know, people in those markets would probably find some funny things about that analysis.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Adam from Portland who wants to weigh in. Adam, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Yeah, man. Hey, I'm sure you guys have covered it. I just jumped in a little bit late, but I keep seeing this AJ Brown stuff, and honestly, I've been in his corner the whole time. I think he should get paid, and do whatever it takes to get paid. But I'm not a fan of how he acts on social media. I think it's goofy. I think somebody needs to step in that's in his corner and go, hey, he can't. I mean, he's kind of acting like a baby. And I've seen maturity issues with him in the past. I believe even at one point I brought it up and Joe disagreed with me. And he's still a young guy, but stuff like that shows. I hate that part of A.J. Brown. He's a great player, but a lot of this stuff creeps out.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. I appreciate it. I mean, we talked about that earlier with Paul as well, Joe, just the behavior on social media and just the kind of the cryptic nature of the tweets more than anything else. I would like to see the cryptic stuff kind of stop, but it's also, I recognize it's 2022, and that's also the society that we live in as well.
It is, but not everyone doesn't do this. So I agree. I just think, it's just that impulse. And again, it is a young person thing. So he's certainly not on an island, just like I'm not on an island and knowing that Spinal Tap is an amazing movie. He's not on an island of having something happen and then having the impulse of, I'm going to go to social media and react to this and maybe just put something out that, thousands of people will have no idea what I'm talking about. But it does seem to happen quite a bit with him. And I'd like to just say, hey, man, stay off social media. But is that realistic? Every once in a while, you'll find like the young, athlete or even just like public figure who intentionally does not have like a Twitter account or something. And I think that's really smart. Because really, like what benefit do you get? For us, for example, we need to use this to, we send out links or for me, send out a link to what I wrote at The Athletic we do links about the show. I mean, a lot of people use Twitter as a vehicle, right, to promote themselves basically. But like, if you're AJ Brown, what is the benefit of Twitter to you?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a great question. I mean, I feel like towards the end of last season, he was basically off of it, right? I mean, he went on it a whole lot as the season was going on.
Which was a good decision. Stick with that. And again, like to me, if you want to take something to Twitter, it's your right, certainly. And sometimes it's like, hey, I'm unhappy about this. I have this forum. I can take it on. I want to directly address this. Okay. I wouldn't advise it, but you know what? I also can't tell you. I understand sometimes things. If I was AJ Brown, I would be pissed if I heard a Titans fan calling me a diva.
Yeah.
If I heard Titans fans is basically siding with management on this situation or being mad because I'm not at voluntary. I think the AJ Brown not being there, it is contract related, but it's still like it's different than Tannehill to me. Okay. So I'd be mad. I understand being mad. So if you're gonna do that and address it, then like be more clear about what you're talking about. Because the thing is, the stuff that he's tweeted, you could convince yourself, you could talk yourself into, oh, so he's mad at John Robinson? I don't think that's what it is. I think it's lashing back at fans. But then, like, tell us, be more clear.
Matt from Camden on the text line says, I'm going to throw a scenario out there. If the Titans could trade back and get 2 second-rounders for their first-round pick, I know that's a big if, do you think they could get an offensive lineman and wide receiver that would be ready to play right away? So trading back, do you think you could still get an offensive lineman and wide receiver that could play right away?
100%. Yeah. If you make the right choice, that's been the issue lately. But at that spot, yeah. I mean, receiver, I really think that there are going to be third-round receivers who – make impact as rookies. And maybe not the same impact as some of the top guys, but maybe they will. I mean, I think there's a lot of receivers, and certainly I think the offensive line depth goes well into the second round. So I agree. Like, if you can trade out of there, if you don't have someone you covet at that spot, I think that would be a great scenario if you got someone who wants to move up. And in all likelihood, if that's the case, it's probably someone who wants to move up to get one of those quarterbacks.
Now, the interesting scenario would be, and I don't think this will happen, but it could. I mean, the scenario that Paul laid out earlier of the two guards that maybe you like that we talked to Brugler about yesterday with, maybe they're gone at that time, and then your big physical receivers are gone too. What do you do at that point? Is there a team willing to trade back? Or could you be stuck at 26 and maybe a spot that you don't want to be in with your guys being gone? I don't know. I don't think that'll happen. Like somebody will be there at 26 that the Titans really like, but if not, that's a tough scenario to be in if you're John Robinson.
Yeah, not being able to bail out of there, and then like the guards are gone, the receivers you like are gone. You know, you could see that happening certainly. I mean, you go if you want to dive into the mock draft rabbit hole. You know, I've seen plenty where it's like again, like and I think I agree with Paul, although not 100% on like that they wouldn't want to draft a small receiver. I'm not convinced that they would dismiss like a Jahan Dotson. I think Dane Brugler's assessment of him was intriguing. And again, they have, I mean, if you go pay a receiver that size, 4 year, $40 million in free agency, I don't see why that means you wouldn't draft one potentially, even though he may not fit the prototypical Titans receiver image we have. They do employ smaller receivers, but that would, to me, would be like, if you're down to like Dotson or something there, that would be not a great scenario. You hope that one of those offensive linemen, and again, with the offensive tackles too, if maybe Jared's right and that's the way they go, what is there going to be a run on those guys before you get to 26?
Coming up next, it is time for The Choice Is Yours. We'll take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Speaking of the text line, it's time for some Talladega trivia. If you answer correctly, you'll qualify to win a pair of tickets to the Arca Menard NASCAR Xfinity Series doubleheader on Saturday, April 23rd. That's this Saturday. And a pair of tickets to the Geico 500 on Sunday. And one pair of Talladega Garage Experience passes as well. Today's trivia question is this. If you know the answer, hit up our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Who was the winner of the 2021 Geico 500? Who was the winner of the 2021 Geico 500? If you know the answer, hit up our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by Smokeville Smoke Shop. Robbie Stanley in the questions chair today. Myself will take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, Michelle Konezovic, would we like to begin with sports or non-sports?
Non-sports.
Non-sports. Okay. In honor of the NFL draft, you can use three draft picks on three different candies. Which candy do you choose? Your top three candies that you're drafting in this competition. Who would like to go first?
I would.
Okay.
Okay. Number one, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
All right.
By far, number one overall
pick.
First rounder, number one overall pick, by far. Next, I've been really on a gummy bears kick. So I would say they're a solid second rounder for me.
Okay.
Gummy bears. And then third round, I'm going to do Cadbury eggs, especially since Easter's right around. So Cadbury eggs will be a solid third for me. But Reese's, like, honestly, all three picks could go to Reese's Peanut Butter
it's
Cups.
Like Joe Burrow.
But exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Joe Rexroad, your top three draft picks. Which candies are you choosing?
Okay, so it's Reese's. Is Reese's some, like, New York weird
thing? No. It's Reese's.
No, it's not. It's Reese's.
I say Reese's, but I think this is a regional thing.
No.
I've heard
a lot of people say Reese's.
Reese's?
I've heard a lot of people say it. Yeah.
Thank you, Robbie. I mean,
but yeah, but you don't say it.
No, I say Reese's.
You got to change this.
But this is
no,
I'm
no.
with you.
This
no.
is like the people that say Colorado or Colorado. This is a regional thing.
Nevada. Yeah. People from Nevada will say, don't ever say Nevada. People who work at Reese's or who started the company, I'm sure the family, their name
speculation.
Is Reese.
You're speculating.
No, it's Reese apostrophe S. It is. It belongs to Reese. It's Reese's.
Speculation.
All right. We're going to settle this. I hope the text line comes to my defense again. But that's my number one pick, too, by the way. Reese's Cups. Number two. Black licorice, of course, and I don't care if my heart explodes. I'm going to eat all the black
licorice. Die instantly, but okay.
And it's very hard to find. Black jelly, that's one thing. I mean, Easter, black jelly beans, got to love it. And number Number three is tough. There's a lot of choices. I think I would go ahead and channel my energy on Daly and go peanut M&Ms.
Peanut M&Ms. All right, that's not bad. Not a big pick. Not a bad pick there. Okay, number one overall for me, I'm going Kit Kat. That would be my number one selection. Kit Kat bar at number one. At number two, I will go the Reese's egg. Not just the cup, the Reese's egg at Easter time. It is wonderful. And they make different variations of this, but the Reese's egg at Easter time is great. And then at number three, I'm a big Sour Patch Kids guy. Love it. Love me some Sour Patch Kids. So I'll go with that at number three.
Those are so addicting.
I know.
So the sour gummy worms, are too.
All right, sports. In honor of Kyrie Irving, who may or may not be my selection, but we'll see. Who is the biggest villain in all of sports? You can identify one villain in all of sports. Who is your biggest villain in the entire sporting world? Take it NFL, college basketball, whatever you want.
And we're talking current athletes.
Correct.
We're not talking all time.
Correct.
Yeah. That's a big question.
I mean,
it makes it easier that we're talking current. Boy, you go first, I think, because you've thought about this, because I don't want to forget someone.
Well, my answer is Kyrie Irving, but that could just be for me because I don't like Kyrie Irving. So Kyrie Irving is on my list. I will also say, as you look around the NFL, I mean, if Antonio Brown is technically in the league, which I guess he's not right now, he'd probably be up there too. So maybe Antonio Brown's the answer I'll go to.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, can I just say Patty Roy and just stick with
sure.
that forever and
he's
ever?
In sports.
Patty Roy and Claude Lemieux, two of my most hated athletes of all time. I think I'm gonna stick with hockey though. How about Brad Marchand? I think I think he's still just
he's a good villain.
Just such a hateable guy, such a punchable face. I'm gonna go with him.
Okay.
Are you gonna punch him too?
Yeah, hope not.
No, he'd probably kick my ass. But no. I can lob grenades at him on radio.
Okay, so I might be in the same situation as Robbie, how he said he just doesn't like Kyrie. But for me, I'm going to go Grayson Allen.
Okay, that's a good.
Played
one.
For Duke, and then I don't know if you guys remember this year, but he had that really dirty foul over Alex Caruso during the Bucks Bulls, and Alex Caruso was out for a couple weeks with a broken wrist, I think, hand or something. So, yeah, I'm going to go Grayson Allen. That was an easy one for me.
That's a very good answer. Like, I don't think about him enough because like he just isn't prominent.
Yeah, he's not a superstar.
But he's great, and it goes back to, I mean, I've never seen a player who keeps trying to be dirty. Everyone knows he's being dirty, and then he tries to pretend like he's not being dirty.
Right? He's like, thinks he's this goody good.
Yeah. Ugh. Grayson Allen, that's a good one. All right. One attraction in the United States that you've never been to that you'd love to go. Take that any way you want to take it. Attraction, place, one attraction in the United States that you've never been to that you'd love to go.
Do you want me to go first on this one?
Sure.
Grand Canyon. This was an easy one for me. It's on my bucket list. My cousin's going there this summer. She's staying there for a week. She's going to zip line hike. I'm not that big of a hiker or anything, but I went to Utah this past summer, and it is absolutely gorgeous out there. I think the Grand Canyon, I mean,
it's pretty awesome.
It's one of the wonders. I just think it would be an amazing experience to go see that. Definitely on my bucket list.
I went there for the first time last year. It was pretty awesome. Direct Show, do you have an attraction in the United States that you've never been to that you'd love to go?
I mean, the Grand Canyon, I've not been there, so it's on the list. I mean, it's not like I don't want to go there. I'm just, like, I've never been, like, gung-ho to go there, but I probably should go there. There's also, like, Yellowstone.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've never been there. I mean, those are the two that come to mind, or just even just like Alaska, but that's not an attraction, but
that counts,
you know? Yeah. Like I guess those would be the three. Again, like I'm more into like beaches and stuff.
Yeah.
Those three, I certainly like Jackson Hole is another one.
Yeah.
I just fear skiing because it's a guaranteed broken leg. So I won't do that. So stuff like that is like, what's the real value if I'm not going to ski or snowboard,
you
know, but
Yeah, I'll go Grand Canyon. You got to see the Grand Canyon, right?
I'm going Maui. I'm going to count that as an attraction. I've never been to Hawaii, so give me let me just go on out there. I'll cover the basketball tournament. I don't care. I'll get in there.
Big basketball guy.
Oh, yeah. I'll get in there.
High-level hoops in a high school gym, and it's 5 hours earlier, and it ends early, and then you just walk right on the beach.
That's right. It's awesome. All right, last one here, and this may require some thinking, especially for you, Rex Road, who have been to thousands of games. What is the best game you've ever attended? Any sport. Best game you've ever attended. Doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, the biggest game you've ever attended, but best game that you've ever attended. Any sport.
Oh, God. Okay, I'll go because Joe's probably got a million gazillion on there.
He does.
Mine was my senior year at Kentucky. College game day was in town, and it was Kentucky-Tennessee. It was that Admiral Schofield team for Tennessee. Kentucky, it's just a huge college game day. Rupp was packed. A bunch of Tennessee fans came down. I remember just standing there because I was working my internship on the court, and I remember just like looking around thinking, wow, this is pretty incredible. Obviously, it was pre-COVID and everything like that, but that probably – I've been to a lot of Kentucky games, but that definitely tops the list for me.
Okay.
That wasn't a good game. Didn't Kentucky kick their butt that night, right?
But it was more of like even – not even the game itself, but just like the atmosphere and beforehand, like the warm-ups and all the coverage. I mean, it wasn't like that crazy of a game or anything like that. But I don't know. I think it was just the whole just being there.
Okay. Joe, is there a game that you've thought of that stands out as potentially the best game you've ever attended? Any sport?
Yeah. I mean, actually, you just mentioned Maui. Michigan State Gonzaga in Maui. Adam Morrison had like 43. It was like double overtime game. Maurice Ager from Michigan State, he hit like a 28-footer to send it over. Like, it was an incredible. But I mean, it's still like a pre-conference game. I probably like the one thing that really comes to mind is Michigan State Wisconsin, the first Big Ten championship game, which was Russell Wilson against Kirk Cousins. It was Le'Veon Bell, Monty Ball, like just talent all over the field. Just a crazy like fake extra point for a 2-point conversion for Michigan State, like a lateral for a touchdown. Russell Wilson wins the game like with basically a Hail Mary going down and throws it up into traffic. It had everything. So, I mean, there's a lot of possibilities. And I think even some of the Preds playoff games and stuff, you know, like the game 7 in Anaheim. But, yeah, that one comes to mind for sure.
I was going to go. I mean, there's a lot I could go to. The one that stood out to me immediately was game 6 of the Preds Western Conference final against the Ducks. It ended up being like, I forget the final score, it was like 6-3 or something, but you had two empty netters in there. It was a great game. Like, it was a great game from start to finish in that game. I think the atmosphere helped because that place was going nuts, but I would say game 6 is right up there with best games I've ever been to.
Colton Sissons.
Yeah. Hero.
Yeah, good one. Yeah, that's a big question.
Yeah, that is a big question. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line. By the way, William from Dover texting in says, Mike Honcho, the biggest villain, and I love it. This coming from William from Dover on the text line. So, Jordan Beck, Mike Honcho, biggest villain in sports right now.
What about Tony Vitello, though? Seriously, well, it could be. If you're not a Vols fan, he's on that list somewhere.
He's on the list somewhere. This has been The Choice Is Yours, sponsored by Smokeville Smoke Shop. Coming up next, we'll get into a big win last night for the Predators against the Calgary Flames. What does it mean for their playoff chances, and what do we think about that potential matchup in the first round of the playoffs? We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.